Michael, team, great job. Don't they do a great job? Oh, phenomenal. Leading us into the presence of the Lord. I'm Lance Hurley. It is my pleasure to be here with you. And I want to say good morning, Lesteridge. Good to see you. Hey, I'm grateful for the ministry of this church. I heard what took place yesterday. What a way to impact people and influence them. We're going to talk about that today for just a moment or two. But I'm thankful for the difference you've made helping people encounter the radical love of God. I'm also especially grateful for my friendship with Darren. I love that man. What a great difference he's made to my life through the years. And I know you're blessed too by him. You know, this time of the year causes us to focus on giving and receiving, doesn't it? Now, I'm sure everyone here has either given or received a gift that's very memorable. Now, for just a moment, take just a moment of time. I want you to think of a gift you either received or you gave and say, okay, that's one I definitely remember, okay? I want you to just take a moment of silence. Let's do that. Think of that gift. Now, I want you to tell someone about that gift before you leave today, okay? Okay, I think that's important. That's important. I want to tell you about a memorable gift I received one day from one Christmas from my brother. Now, my brother was not a good gift giver. Okay, he really wasn't. I mean, one year he gave me a machete for Christmas so I could hack my way through the wilds of Manteno where I lived at the time, right? Okay, he just was not very good. But then came the Christmas where he outdid himself. We gathered with family together for the season, for the Christmas day. My brother sent us a big box, it's about this big, to open together. Thought, okay, all right. We opened the box and found it full of chocolate candy bars. Hershey's, Reese's Pieces, all kinds of different chocolate imaginables. And I said, okay, finally, Scott has given us a gift that's good. Okay, we like chocolate, right? So we set it off to the side. We did it. We opened the rest of our presents. We spent some time playing some games. And it was about that time I noticed an ant crawling up the side of our wall. That's kind of strange in December to have an ant in the house, right? Well, I killed it, and I saw another one, and that's when I remembered on the tape of the box that he had sent, there were a couple of dead ants. So I opened up the box and found it swarming with ants. There were ants everywhere, and I spent the next 4 or 5 days killing ants in our house. That was a gift that just kept on giving, okay? That's my brother. Now, it wasn't a lot of fun while we were killing ants, I'll be honest, okay? But looking back on it, it gives us laughter, right? Okay? And that's what stories do, right? The better the story, the more it causes us to remember, reflect, and even laugh. So when it comes to Christmas, it's all about the story, isn't it? The story of the most memorable gift of all. God is a great giver, and on the first Christmas, he gave us exactly what we need. And it's a gift that continues to give to us today. So I want to read a very short verse or two from a very famous passage in Luke chapter 2. It'll be on the screen behind me. So let's reflect on this gift for a moment. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." I'm going to leave it right there. This time of year is all about the answer that God sent us in the form of a baby. Now, my son teaches AP Calculus. When he went through college, he teaches that in high school down in Piatone. When he went to college, he took a class called Abstract Algebra, which I have no idea what that even means. But I asked him to send me a problem. So I have a problem for you today that he put together. Look at this. Okay, let G be a group. Prove that if G is not a billion, then there exists an X that is an element of G, such as X squared does not equal E. You like that? Now, the good thing is this problem has a hint attached to it. Here's the hint. Hint, prove the contrapositive statement. If for all x and g we have x squared equals e, then g is abelian. That is, for all a in g, ab equals ba. Yeah, that's a different language, isn't it? Okay. I have no idea what the answer to that problem would be. Now, here's the deal, guys. When it comes to the problem the world faced, it was all about sin, right? The sin and the consequences, the weight it put on us, and the fact that we could not figure our way out of the consequences of sin. Sin robbed the world of joy. It stripped it completely of joy. But then God sent the gift that was the answer. The angel told the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So when Darren asked me to speak, I thought, I want to talk about joy. Because this is something that people need, and it's something that God wants to give to us. I bring you good news of great joy. So I wondered, what brings joy to you? Well, I put some of my joy bringers in some pictures here. There's my bride. She brings me joy. I like nothing more than to make her laugh. She gets a lot of laughter living with me, by the way. One night we were watching TV together and a show came on and it was really kind of wacky, the whole plot of it. After it was all over, I looked at her. She looked at me and I said, man, that was twisted, sister. See, exactly. Okay, I love that. Okay, look at these guys. Those are my three guys. Those are my three boys. Okay. Notice any resemblance there? Poor guys. Okay. I tell you, so this is at a wedding we were at for my nephew last month. I'll tell you what, the night before the wedding, we did nothing but laugh together. Okay. In fact, I told Darla after that night we were in our room, I said, I am so tired of laughing, my face hurts. Okay. Okay. That's what these guys. Okay. Now here's my two joy bringers though. Yeah. Okay. He's singing in his Christmas program down in Champaign Day. Let me tell you, he has no problem with the bows. He's a Hurley. Okay, he really likes to bow. Okay, when they say, Grandpa, it just brings joy flooding into my heart. Okay, I don't know any other way to put it. They just bring joy. Now, these are big ticket items, okay, for me. Big ticket items. But you know what? There's a lot of other items that bring joy too. And I'll tell you what, when you add up all those little things we encounter, okay, like a cup of hot coffee on a deer stand in the morning, for me, brings joy, okay? A chance interaction with someone you haven't seen in a long time, right? There are several friendships here from years and years ago that just bring joy to me. Seeing little faces, right? Don't they bring joy? There's something about it. Huh, okay, so I have one more thing here, okay? What do you think? Yeah, this is my happy hat, okay? Yeah. This makes me happy. It makes everyone I come in contact with happy too, okay? Joy, right? Joy. Okay, now here's the deal. Good news of great joy that will be for all the people, God said. That's what the angel promised us. Everyone can experience a promise of joy. I'll tell you what, our world desperately needs to encounter it, don't they? They need joy. So here's what I think. I think joy leads to action. And when we live lives filled with joy, it's something that has to come out of us. Okay, something must overflow. So I brought my Pepsi can with me today. We're gonna excite this can. All right, here we go, okay? Now, what happens when I pull the tap? My apologies to those in the splash zone. Okay, here we go, okay? So let's see what happens, right? Now, you think I'm going to do that? No, I'm not going to do that. Come on. I like to bring joy, not too much mess, right? All right? Here's the deal, though, guys. When joy builds up inside our lives, it must effervescently flow out of us. And it does, right? Okay? Knowing Jesus and what he has done for us should work to build that impression, build that joy inside of us and let it flow out to touch others. Joy leads to action. Now, here's what the action, I think, causes. It causes two movements. One, it moves us toward God. So with the birth of Jesus, God showed up in person. Came in a very unexpected fashion, caught a lot of people by surprise, because he came as a baby born to a couple of peasants. Now they knew, Mary and Joseph knew who they were entertaining in their home, the Son of God. And they knew he's the one who had been promised for years. He was God's answer come in the flesh. And they experienced God in their home, in the flesh. And I wonder, do you ever wonder what was going through their minds? Right? Especially that night, when Jesus was born, I bet they experienced a lot of the same things that we do when we have babies for the first time. Scared, overwhelmed, excited, full of love, all kinds of different things like that. Parents, you remember the responsibility, that feeling that came from the responsibility of being in charge of a life. I remember bringing my oldest son home 32 years ago. And I looked at him in his bassinet there in our bedroom, and I had this overwhelming feeling of, guess what it was? It was fear. I thought, I can't do this. I got to take him back to the hospital because I don't know what I'm doing. Right? Yeah, it worked out okay. Okay? But I wonder what Mary and Joseph were feeling that night and on as they encountered God in the flesh. Have you ever encountered God? I can think back to times when I look back and say, boy, that was God. I remember the birth of our grandson standing outside the door of the room where he was being born, hearing the cry of a baby. And when that happened, something happened in here. And I melted. And I blubbered. I was so happy. I encountered God in the form of a new baby, a new family member. I remember walking into the sanctuary at Christ Church at Oak Brook. And I encountered the presence of God. It's just something about it was just heavy in a good way. And I thought, oh, I feel God. See, God wants us to encounter him. He wants us to experience his presence. Where do you encounter him? You see, for me, it's nature. I mean, a couple of years ago, Darla and I went to Niagara Falls. And talk about majestic. I stood on the shoreline above the falls and just marveled at the power of God. In August, sat outside in our backyard and watched the Perseid meteor shower. Marveled at what I saw streaking across the sky. And I was reminded of how huge God is, how small I am. And yet, as small as I am, how much he loves me. And each of us can say the same thing. You know what encountering God does for me? It makes me hungry for more encounters. It really does. The joy I find from seeing him around me makes me want to move closer to him and get more of him. Mary and Joseph had God living right there in their home. And there they were on that first night in a stable, looking at God's son, filled with joy because they knew who he was. And they knew that God had sent him right to them. See, God's presence really is recognizable. We can tell when he's around. I have a package here today. Okay? Now, I want you to tell me, what is in this package? Any idea? Okay? Now, let me give you a hint. Okay? Now, tell me, what's in this package? Okay, it's recognizable, isn't it? Hey, the magnet may be hidden, but the effect is all there, isn't it? Okay, now I'll tell you what, God's presence is recognizable. We can feel him. We can know him. He draws us toward him, and he pours his power through us. So not only do we get to encounter him, we can help other people encounter him. The power of God. Joy moves us, and if we are open to it, we will see God more clearly all the time as we look for him. A few months ago, our next-door neighbor was outside, and I asked her how she was doing. She said, oh, it's been a rough month. I said, what's going on, Jenny? And she proceeded to tell us that her husband had a leg infection that had begun to spread throughout his body, and she used this descriptor several times, said, he is a hot mess. I said, okay. Well, I assured her. I said, I and we will pray for Kevin. When I came back home the next day, I saw his front door open, so I just thought, well, I'll go over and talk to him. So I knocked on the door, went in, and just talked with him for a while. And as we were wrapping up our conversation, I said to him, as I often will do in time, hey, Kevin, can I pray for you? And his response was different than what I normally receive, because normally they say, oh, yeah, please do. He said, no, not into that stuff. I said, okay. And then he said this, but I know you prayed for my son Zach to get a job, and he got a job, so when you drive by, you can pray if you want to. See, he knew something. He's not encountered the presence of God yet, but he does recognize that there's some cause and effect here somewhere. See, guys, if we look, we will see God's presence and we'll encounter him. He reveals himself to us. Mary and Joseph both understood this, and following the appearance of the angels, the shepherds did too. God's presence brings joy. I can't get enough of it myself. That's why I try to read every morning in the Bible. I love the presence of God. But it moves us toward God, but it also moves us toward others. We get to share the joy that we know. When I was in youth ministry in Pekin, way back when, okay, I encountered a man who said he was a follower of Jesus. So I wondered about his walk, though, when he told me this. He said, "Lance, I've been a Christian for 30 years, and no one knows it." I thought, okay, you're missing the point here a little bit, bud. Okay, right? See, remember, we're supposed to let the joy out, not keep it in the can, right? Okay? Now, this is exactly what we see in this story, because first of all, from the angels, God couldn't hold in the excitement of the answer he had sent, right? So he sent the angels to tell the shepherds. Tell them. God sent his messengers, this is what angels are, to spread the word about the gift. He said, he's here. We bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. The answer has arrived. Now, how do you hold good news in? You just can't. Good news is meant to be shared. Now, what does it mean for us? Well, it means we get to let the good news of Jesus out. We can't afford to keep it to ourselves. We can't afford to hide it. Only letting it out in little doses. No, we got to let it pour. I remember a conversation I had with a missionary to Muslims during a conference in Cincinnati. And he told me, he said, "Now, Lance, all the cab drivers around here are Muslim." And said, "And many Muslims are eager to talk to Christians about their faith because they see something different." Now, I'd never even seen the cab driver being Muslim, but he knew that. So that evening, I go to our college's reception. I encountered a man who was serving at one of the tables. I struck up a conversation with him, first of all, about Chicago and traffic, and then about Southern California, where I grew up, and traffic there. And he told me, he said, "I'm Muslim." And then he said this. He said, "You know, it's funny." He pointed around the room and said, "Your God is different than my God." I said, "Okay, how so, Amar?" He said, "Well, you talk about love and forgiveness, and ours not so much that way." So we struck up a conversation about love and forgiveness, and I talked about Jesus. I also had a chance to pray with him for his son, who was a Marine recruit. As a dad, he was concerned for his boy. Now, I have no idea what's going to take place in his life. It was a chance encounter. I still pray for him today, though, that somebody else will continue the conversation with him toward Jesus. But I left that evening with joy in my heart because I had a chance to let it out, let the answer out. Now, we start Christian churches around Chicagoland. That's what we do. There's just something about the joy that accompanies a new church that fills my heart. I still remember Joliet, where a church had died. And we started a new church. There were about 20 people in the launch team. And on opening day, there were over 300 that came. The place was filled with people. In fact, I had to attend church in the lobby on TV. Okay? But I still remember standing out front with people as they watched cars pull into the parking lot. And person after person walked into the church. And one of the older guys, that older, crusty gentleman, he had tears in his eyes, tears streaming down his face. He said, "Look at all the people." The church runs over 1,000 today. Hundreds have come into relationship with Jesus. It fills me with joy to know what's taking place. Much as looking out here today fills me with joy. I was down in St. Louis talking with a man who's established a network of 9 gospel communities last year in neighborhoods around the city. I went to his house, and the neighborhood he lived in rivals anything on the south side and the west side of Chicago. Right across his house was a tree covered with teddy bears. I said, "Well, what's that all about?" He said, "Well, that's where someone was shot and killed earlier this year." I said, "Okay." A little further down the street, another tree filled with teddy bears. I said, "Here too?" He said, "Yeah, that one, in fact, was the girlfriend of a cartel member, and she died in my arms. I heard the shots. I went out, and she was right there, shot by accident." Now, here's an Anglo gentleman living in a whole African-American community. It's dangerous bringing the light and love of Jesus. He pointed to a garden flourishing behind the first memorial tree, and he said, "That used to be a drug lot. Shot up heroin and everything else, and now we've turned it into a community garden where neighbors are growing food together." He showed me four blocks down, four houses down the blocks. He said, in each one of these houses, we have now have followers of Jesus living. And the orphan children, after they come down from school, come home from school, they go to these houses and they get food because their moms and dad, even they're orphans just in name only, but their moms and dad don't take care of them. So we do it and we show them Jesus. And piece by piece, he said, we are claiming this neighborhood for Jesus. I stood in the corner with Lucas and I prayed for him. I prayed for protection for him, provision, and that God would bring more people alongside his effort. I talked to him last month and I just thanked him for the inspiration he has been to me because he's letting the joy out and it's making a difference. Like you did yesterday, I believe that God wants us to spread his joy, the good news about the gift he gave to us. When light comes into darkness, darkness runs. And folks, if we have Jesus, we have the light. That's why I love what I do, because I get churches to go into dark places and spread the light. So when it comes to joy leading to action, I want to ask you to do a couple things this week, all right? First of all, I want to encourage you to spend time in the presence of God and read this. Read Luke 1 and Luke 2. Read Matthew 1 and Matthew 2. And if you want a little change of pace, read John 1. Read a chapter a day. You'll encounter the story of the baby who grew up to be the Savior. As you read, think about the gift and what his presence in your life means to you. Secondly, look for the presence of God around you this week, okay? Really look. God tells us if we seek him, we will find him, all right? He's all around us. If you ask God to show himself to you, he will reveal himself. And when you encounter the presence of God, it should lead to more awareness and more desire to be close to the presence of God. Thirdly, you should have received a kernel of corn today. Everybody get one of those? If you didn't, you can get one when you go out. Now, what amazes me is that one kernel of corn yields one of these, okay? Over 360 kernels of corn on one ear of corn comes out of one. Here's what happens. When we share the joy of Jesus, we plant seeds. We may not see the fruit when it's all said and done, but we plant seeds so people can continue to experience God. So my encouragement to you is plant seeds this week. Tell people about the one who's made a change in your life. If you don't have that change, come and talk to somebody. God wants us to encounter him and to come relationship with him. But a smile, a good gesture, a kind thought, a kind act can cause people to wonder why and begin to ask questions. So my encouragement to you, plant seeds of joy, and as you do, God will draw people to him. So put the seed somewhere as a reminder of opportunity and responsibility that God gives to each of us. See, the shepherds told everyone about this special child they had seen, and there are people today who need to hear the story. Great opportunity coming next Sunday, Christmas Eve services. I think you have three of them going on. People are open this time of the year to hearing the story, to wondering why. So invite them. What a gift God gave us when his son came to earth. A gift that continues to bring joy, peace, and the good news of God's love to people. God allows us to play a part in letting people know the joy. So my question is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for the amazing privilege you've given us of being joy bringers. Lord, allow us to have open eyes, open hearts to those around us who need the touch of your son, Jesus. And Lord, thank you so much for the gift you've given to us. In the powerful name of Jesus, we praise you and we thank you. Amen.